There is a giving which is voluntary, and that is what Harry was talking about, the voluntary giving which we discussed on Wednesday night. Paul talked about that. It's a giving that is planned. It's a giving that is predetermined. The Apostle Paul wrote and encouraged that there would be total involvement in the congregation. Everybody ought to be giving, and it can be depended on by the recipient. And what we talked about Wednesday night was outside of church giving. In other words, for us, faith promise. That's the amount that leaves here and goes. That's the voluntary giving. And that's something that we've asked people to participate in. Faith promise is, how many of you participate in faith promise? Put your hand up. How many have no idea what faith promise is? Okay, so Sam, I'm glad we brought it up. So faith promise is an amount that you determine that you can give to missions every month. And then you let us know what that is. And you could take an offering envelope and you can put faith promise. I don't know if we have the faith promise cards anymore. You could just write on the envelope, faith promise. And I'd like to commit to $5 a week, faith promise. And then make sure you keep that up. Because what we do with the faith promise giving is we turn around, we say, okay, the beginning of the year, here's what we believe we're going to have for faith promise. Hey, Josephus, here's our commitment to you for the year. That way he can plan. You know, rather than just, we used to do it many years ago when we first started here. We do a door offering once a month. Then whatever came in, well, we got $30 for you, or we got $900 for you, and there's no way for the missionary or the worker to plan. So we, as Paul suggested, collect it ahead of time, predetermine it, get as many people involved as possible. Then we'll make a commitment to the people who are going to receive it. This is the amount we're going to give you. And some of that faith promise money, hopefully when we get to a point where we're back to a surplus there, we can then start giving to IEGM, some of the other missionaries in IEGM, and others. So how many understand that? All right. So stay faithful in that. We've looked at numbers for this past year. First, I want to say you have been tremendously faithful. This congregation is to be commended for their giving and their faithfulness to the compulsory, which is the tithe. And I'm going to explain that in a couple minutes. But it's amazing, and God has used it. We've been able to do quite a bit this year with it. We've had some great ministry. I'm looking forward to the 7th of January to talk about where we're heading this coming year. And I'm excited for the future. I really am. I'm excited for what this congregation can accomplish together. There's a lot of souls that need to be reached. There's a lot of people in our community that we can touch. And I think if we are faithful in our giving of our finances, giving of our time, giving of our creative energy and focus and individual evangelism, we can really see our church go from here this year to maybe here. And then perhaps 365 days from now, I'll be standing in front of you, and maybe the group will be twice as big, and we'll be talking about 2024 and where we're going to go from here to here. Amen? Amen. How many are with me? Yeah. All right, good. Now, as I said, we talked about the tithe, which is the offering, which is the voluntary giving. And as Harry said very well, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And that is a giver who is not only willing to give, but is literally so excited about giving that they're telling the people that handle the money, where do I give? How do I give? When can I give? How often can I give? And what's the limit? That's the word being used here for cheerful. It's not just, ha, 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 and the money goes in the air. That's not the cheerful giver. The cheerful giver is a excited, willing giver who is, just somebody who's really selfless in what they're thinking about. And imagine how many of you can excited about certain things like trucks. And how many get excited about baseball games, going to a good baseball game? And how many of you get excited about, fishing or hunting? How many of you get excited about buying a nice new dress or nice clothing or maybe a new car, right? Imagine if God's people were as excited about giving as they were about those things. Like, I can't wait to spend my money and give it to this missionary because I know that Bali needs missions. And Wade and Paula Johnson are there and need support. I know that Borneo. The Borneo war cry. And we know that Borneo, there's a guy in the sticks in Borneo from England. He gets a couple hundred hours a month. That's it. This guy needs support to reach people. And, you know, it's like, I could get excited about that if we did a little bit and we gradually ramped it up for somebody like that. Amen? So that's the kind of excitement about the faith promise and the voluntary giving. But I want to talk about the other thing, the elephant in the room, which is the tithe. And what the tithe actually is. The tithe is giving. The faith promise is giving. The tithe is not giving. You know why it's not giving? Because it doesn't belong to you. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. Understand? How many understand that? In other words, the tithe, the Bible says the tithe belongs to God. And we'll share some verses with you. But so let's start with Exodus chapter 13. Lord speaks to Moses, says this, consecrate to me. Look at that word, consecrate. Now, what do you think consecrate means? What do you think consecrate means? Set it aside for a very precise purpose. Set aside for me. What an amazing thing that is. Moses is being told by the Lord, tell Israel to set aside for me the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and, say it, animals, beasts. First calf, the Lord's. First goat, the Lord's. First sheep, set aside, that's the Lord's. The firstborn is to be set aside. Very interesting. Numbers chapter 3. Next book. Or two books down, excuse me. Numbers chapter 3. Verse 13. Verse 11. Start in verse 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. So God told Moses, first of all, said, animals and babies, consecrate those to me, present those to me for my use. Then God took a whole tribe for himself, the Levites. Because all the firstborn are mine, verse 13. Look at that. All the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn of Israel, man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. That's the firstborn. Deuteronomy 18:4. Now we go to the next section here, the next thing that he is told. The first fruits of your grain, Deuteronomy 18:4. The first fruits of your grain and your new wine and your oil. Look at this. And the first of the fleece of your sheep you shall give him. So it's the firstborn, and now God is saying your crops, there is what you make from the crops, and the wool that comes off the sheep, that first shaving of the fleece, beautiful, soft, gorgeous, valuable wool, that's mine. See that? How many are reading that with me? Reading that? Yeah, it's amazing. Pretty incredible. Deuteronomy 26. It shall be that when you come into the land that you, the Lord will give you, is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, this is the promised land, that you'll take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you will bring from the Lord, bring from your land, and that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to a place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you will go to the one who is the priest in those days and say, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore our fathers to give us. And the priest will take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. So now it's saying we're going to take care of the priest with this first fruits. So far, so good? Now, somebody ought to be thinking in the back of my head, wait a minute. Moses, this is the law. We're not under the law. This giving thing doesn't work for the church. We're not under the law. How many have ever heard that said? Well, when did the law begin? With who? Who? The law came by who? Moses. Say it a little louder like you know what you're talking about. Moses. There we go, Moses. Well, there's a story. Genesis 14. Lot has been taken captive. Abraham goes to get him. He's released with the help of this incredible high priest named Melchizedek, the king of Sodom. Let's start in verse 14, chapter 14. Abraham heard his brother was taken captive. He armed 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and he brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. So apparently not only Lot was taken captive, but his entire family and a whole group of people. And it says that the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. There's a priest before the law. Hello? And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, God Most High, of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham gave a tithe to the priest Melchizedek, 10% of all the spoils. This is before the law. And Abraham was never commanded to do that. So Abraham commenced tithing. Then Moses commanded the tithing. Do you understand that? Abraham commenced it, and then Moses commands it. Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27, verse 30, all the tithe of the land, now watch this, this is amazing, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, say it, say it, whose is it? How many are in the verse and reading the verse? See it? I want you to participate this morning because this is an important lesson. You want to know why it's an important lesson? Because some of you may be spending what you shouldn't be spending because it's not yours. You say, well, Pastor, didn't you just teach none of it's mine? Correct. But how many of you know what discretionary spending is? You know what it means when something's discretionary? That means it's up to the steward's discretion. 90% of your income is up to your discretion as a steward. 10% is not. 10% is non-discretionary, mandatory money, tithing, that belongs to the Lord. Concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. The tithe is 10%. It belongs to God. Pastor, you just want our money. I do. As much as you can give. Why? I tithe too. Can ask my elders. Karen and I have been tithing since we've been married. I haven't missed a tithe in all those years. Not a nickel. Why? Because it's God's. And Malachi 3 says, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, God considers it, what? Robbery. There's a verse that literally, the word is literally could be translated embezzlement. Imagine the steward embezzling funds that don't put, that he should be, there's 90% he can use discretionary, 10% better be used the way God wants it used. I want you to be blessed in your finances. Listen, if I thought you were living in adultery and I didn't teach on adultery and say stop doing that, would you want me to do that? Would you want me to tell you? Do you want me to preach against adultery? Hello? You think I should talk about that? What if somebody is like doing something that's just unhealthy in a relationship? You think I ought to talk about that? Well, what about somebody who's robbing God? Should I say something about that? But you know what? I was told by one pastor many, many years ago, stay away from talking about money. You don't want to preach about money. People are going to think, I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. Here's what I care. I care that you think biblically. Let me put it that way. I care that you have biblical thoughts and a biblical approach to finances. Now, we spent the last 2 months talking about stewardship, never brought up tithing. It was all about budgets and responsibility and having biblical decision-making about finances. Now we're going to get to tithing, where we see before the law was given, Abraham commenced it, then Moses commanded it and said, that tithe is the Lord's. That tithe belongs to God. Jacob did the same thing. And everything, because not everything was abolished by the law. And the law was an amazing blessing in many ways to Israel as a nation. So Malachi chapter 3, let's go to that verse because that's one everybody's pretty familiar with. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Here's a minor prophet with a major message, and he says to Israel, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, or test me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Isn't that incredibly gracious that God would say that tithe belongs to me, it's mandatory you give it, And if you do, I'm still going to bless you as if you did it voluntarily. And I'll open up the floodgates of heaven and bless your house. Has anyone ever experienced that? Raise your hand. How many have ever had the floodgates open? If it hasn't happened, I want to ask you, have you been doing what this says? If the floodgates don't open, read this verse, you may find out why they're not opening for you. And it doesn't mean, well, I get to consume all this stuff on myself. I want the floodgates to open so I can have a lot of stuff, like Madame Blueberry. How many remember Madame Blueberry? If you don't know who Madame Blueberry is, it's unfortunate. So it goes on and says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. That's a pretty significant commitment from God regarding this principle. So, Abraham commenced it. Moses commanded it. And then in Luke 14, or Luke 11, Jesus commended it. Luke 14. Luke 11. I keep saying 14. Luke 11:42. In a rebuke to the Pharisees, watch what he says. Luke 11:42. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe. Look at this. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone, or the others undone. Jesus isn't saying they shouldn't be tithing. He says, listen, you're tithing, but you're not loving, and you're not operating with any integrity of justice. You should be operating with love and integrity and continuing your tithe. So, Abraham commenced it. Moses commanded it. Jesus commended it in Hebrews 7. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. Here, mortal men receive tithes. But there, he receives them. Isn't that incredible? So here, the mortal men receive the tithe, and in heaven, God receives the tithe. It's almost like your tithe is a twofer. It's like a twofer. Here, mortal men receive the tithe, but then God receives the tithe in heaven. There's like this invisible, powerful spiritual gift that God has given us. And he says, that tithe belongs to me, and I will receive it from you. He receives it in heaven. Mortal men may collect it, but God receives it. So Abraham commenced it. Moses commanded it. Jesus commended it. And then I think Paul here continued it. There's your four C's for the year. Commenced, commanded, commended, and continued. And it's a wonderful, wonderful principle. It really is. The tithe belongs to the Lord. It's God's. This kind of answers the debate why verses like 2 Corinthians 9:7 are used against the tithe. When you look at the verse like 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That has nothing to do with the tithe, my friends. That has to do with the offering that we talked about on Wednesday night, which is the collection of the saints for Macedonia, for Jerusalem, and for others. That's the voluntary one. Give or don't give. But you ought to, as God blesses you. That's what that verse says. Accordingly, as God blesses his people, they ought to be willing to give in their faith promise, or give in their offerings. These verses here about helping the poor abroad and supporting the gospel in areas that can't support itself. That's 1 Corinthians 9, 13 to 14. There was also a free will offering in Deuteronomy 12, 5, 6. That was a free will offering for the poor. Let's look at it, Deuteronomy 12. You will seek the place where your Lord God chooses out of your tribes to put his name for a dwelling place, and there you will go, and you will take burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings, your hand, offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and your firstborn of the herds and flocks. So there's a number of offerings being mentioned here. That one free will offering was an offering to widows and the poor. I know that there was one church that had a widow's fund. I think, I'm trying to remember, maybe it's Pastor Kelly's church has a widow's fund, according to that verse in Timothy where it talks about collecting and taking care of widows. There were a number of widows in his church. They started a widow's fund. Pastor Josephus has a widow's fund in his church. So it all depends on the situation, the additional offerings, the free will offerings. Hey, based on what's happening in your area, you can set something up. People can make suggestions about offerings. You may have a suggestion about an offering. We would certainly entertain that. The tithe is that 10% that belongs to the Lord. It's 10%. Somebody said to me one time, I tithe 12%. I said, well, you don't know math. You don't tithe 12%. You tithe 10%. You're giving, offering another 2. Praise the Lord. Good. But the tithe is 10, and that belongs to God, period. I think I'm going to start tithing 7%. No. You're going to be 7/10 tithing. You're not tithing at 7%. You're tithing at what? 10%. It's just a biblical principle, you know. And, hey, there have been times where we've gone, there have been many years when my income has done this. And then you maybe store it up in the budget. That tithe goes into the budget amount, and then you write that one big check. Every couple months, you write the one check, and it's like, you know, a couple $1,000. You, wow. And you know what? We've never said, geez, I don't know if we want to give all that. Put the money in the plate. You know, do your auto withdrawal if you want to, but make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do with your finances. And believe me, you're not going to go without. You'll be blessed because the Bible says you will. And there's a difference between the faith promise and the tithe. And for 2023, I think there's going to be a really direct correlation between the faithfulness of the giving of the congregation with how we reach the lost. I really believe that, because the willingness of us to put our money where our mouth is, to be in the game and own it. I had a fellow here who was coming to church for a while. He was like 6-7 months, and I know he hadn't given a nickel. And he said, yeah, I'm an ideas guy. Have you tried this? Have you tried this? Have you tried this? And at one point I said to him, have you tried not robbing God? I said, let's pray. Lord, my friend here has decided to rob you. I don't know what you want to do with him. And he goes, wait, what are you praying? I said, you've heard me read that verse before. He ended up moving out of the area. Right now, he's faithfully attending a church in North Carolina, and he's tithing. So some other pastor got the benefit of me rebuking him. But somebody did, thank God. And he got the benefit of honoring God. You know, so this is a blessing. This is a beautiful principle. And it's something we can have great security and confidence in. So I started the series with the budget because I don't recommend someone start tithing and then do a budget. I think you have to do it together. And I think you have to understand the principle of budgeting in order to tithe in an orderly way. God wants you to take care of your families. You understand that, right? God doesn't want money out of your food budget to go into the offering. However, the tithe belongs to God already. If you can't eat and tithe, then you need to see him or me or Harry or somebody and talk about your budget. If you can't eat and tithe, you need to talk to someone about your budget. But I don't think if you're tithing and you have a budget and things are tight that you should take money out of your food budget and give it in the offerings for a faith promise. I don't think you should do that. I think that's wrong. I think you got to take care of your family first. And I also think you should be very careful to make sure you've got a plan for your future. Remember we talked about those barns and those silos? You need to put money in the barn. You need to put your hay in the barn. The winter's coming. Put some hay in the barn, right? The ant knows better to do this. The ant is smart and stores up food for the winter. That's the budget. That's taking money you're getting now and not just consuming it now and then getting more money now and getting consuming more money now. You have your, we used to teach our kids, you get $15. $3 goes in this envelope. $2 goes in this envelope. $4 goes in this envelope. $1.50 goes in the tithe envelope. And then you got your long range savings and your short-term savings, and then you're spending on and that's how you do it. Well, as you get older, it's just the envelopes get a little more sophisticated. But you ought to have your envelopes. And one of those envelopes should be a future savings. In the meantime, when you have something you're planning on buying that is not a need but a want, that's when you present before God, Lord, does this money go in the offering, or am I going to get this canoe? And there's nothing wrong with you buying a canoe or a kayak or some fishing equipment or golf clubs. Nothing wrong with that at all. If you have a budget. How many understand this? I pounded this home. And you know why I talk about money as much as I do in the last couple of months? Because Jesus spent a tremendous amount of time talking about money and hell. He talked about money and hell more than he talked about love. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where your money is, that shows our motives, that shows our desires, that shows our priorities. It's an indicator of what's really going on inside. So, all that to say, stay consistent, walk by faith, do what you're supposed to do, and watch God do what he's going to do. All right? Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you that we have a new year to enjoy each other's company and fellowship, a year to observe your faithfulness again, a year to serve you, maybe another year to serve you and to honor you and to do some fun things together in the ministry. We pray, Father, you would keep us humble, keep us together, keep us united, keep us faithful, keep us healthy. Oh, God, please keep us healthy. Keep us strong. We pray for Roger this morning. We pray for Bonnie and Larry this morning. Who else has been sick? Kristen's aunt has been very sick. We pray for her. Pray for Lester Stout. John's dad has been very sick. Pray for my mom, who's come from the emergency room into rehab. We pray for Karen's dad. We pray for all the elderly family members that we're thinking of and loving. And we ask you to help us, God, to navigate these times with wisdom. And we love you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.